How have you not seen this? Welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This. As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, we watched The Godfather, and I am joined by Travis Haywisher.
Hello.
And Tom Plute.
Hey there.
And we watched The Godfather. Really great movie. Francis Ford Coppola, one of Al Pacino's big, most memorable early breakout roles, 72. Pretty popular movie, pretty ingrained in our popular culture. So, Travis, how have you not seen this?
I don't know. I think my attention span is too short. Like, it's embarrassing, too, because I actually own a prestigious film studies minor from The Ohio State University, and yet have not seen what is widely considered to be the first or second greatest film of all time.
Okay.
So I have not seen this by way of my own horrible laziness and short-sightedness.
Fair enough. Tom, how have you not seen this?
I think similarly, like, I'm just lazy and, you know, it's so long. And it's not even like it's on TV a lot. Like, it's not like, you know, it's, you know, they play it on TNT or whatever.
Yeah.
And if it like is Shawshank, on rare occasions, I think
which
I've actually never seen. Right. And I think I've seen it on AMC once and it's like, with commercials, like 4 hours, like I'm gonna have to take a big chunk out of my day.
We are young white Ohio males, which means that we probably see most classic movies on TNT. So if TNT ain't got that shit,
I'm not watching it.
Shawshank is the only movie anyone watches. Right.
Just add that on repeat.
Shawshank and Green Mile. All right, cool. Let's go back to something you said in your explanation, Travis. It's widely regarded as definitely one of the best films ever made. How does the hype stack up for you guys, I guess, now that you've seen it?
I think maybe subconsciously I was always like, if I see this and don't consider it to be like a tremendous piece of art, it'll be like, I don't want to be one of those dudes who's just like, oh, fucking Beatles are overrated, but like, I thought it was good, not great.
Yeah.
To be totally honest. Okay. Like, maybe... It's so hard, right? It's so hard sometimes to think about, like, because I can see how it would have made a huge impression.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's just so hard to see all the, like one of the first things that jumped out was made him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's impossible not to be aware of all these, like, cult pop cultural touchstones.
Right. Yeah.
They said it, like, fucking 8 times in the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I mean, that would be like Citizen Kane if it was just like, hey, Rosebud. All right, Rosebud. Rosebud, Rosebud. It's just like, it came up so many times, it was corny to me.
Okay.
That was like one of the biggest surprises.
Yeah.
But it was also one of the first movies, like gangster movie. Like, there's so many other movies after that just based off of this.
Yeah. And it's probably somewhat, like, people like us watching it for the first time, it's somewhat ruined by how influential it's been.
Right.
You've seen
so many references to this movie. We were saying, like, during the movie, like, we know what's going to happen next. Because some of these scenes have been redone so many times.
Let's talk about
in
scenes.
Pop culture. Like, I was like, I know what's going to happen. Even though I've never seen this before, I know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, the horse head in the Hollywood director's bed. Everyone knows that. I thought it was, like, really funny that you recognized Sonny Corleone, James Caan's character, getting shot before that scene happened. Because, like, that's definitely
as
one of
soon
my...
As soon as they showed him pulling up to the toll booth, I was like, I know where this is going.
Yeah. That's such an amazing scene, and I don't know that it ever would have occurred to me before to be like, oh, somebody's pulling up to a toll booth. Oh, someone's about to get shot to shit.
I think that's
really funny that, like, you recognize that.
But I think that's a big part of the issue. Like, it's so many of those, like, iconic scenes. I don't know how they can be iconic to people who just saw it when it's been lampooned and, like...
Yeah, when you've seen it so many times.
Been paid tribute to so much. It's kind of embarrassing. I kept thinking about, what was the shitty Leslie Nielsen movie? It wasn't Naked Gun, but it was something that, right?
Fuck, I know exactly what you're talking about. Jay Moore was in it.
I don't know.
That's gonna bug the shit out of me. Like, but it was in that same band. It was like Spy Hard.
Shit.
I don't know
which one it is.
You can look it up.
But I mean, like, sort of embarrassing that, like, I recalled at least three times that movie, and it's like allusions to The Godfather. Yeah. So like, absolutely.
I don't know
like,
what movie like, you're talking about.
God, yeah, like I mean the brother. I mean like the brother out in Vegas.
Yeah.
The you know the. Like Don Corleone's death in the kid with the sprayer.
Oh right,
yeah, yeah.
Like all of those
talk
were
talk about getting scarred for life.
I know.
He's never going to be able to water plants again.
I'm pretty sure a grandson in the Corleone family is probably going to have worse scars than than old Pop passing away in the garden. Like
he's squirting him with that thing still as he's laying there dead.
I was going to say I'm pretty sure like.
Jane Austen's Mafia.
Yes.
That was the name of it. What a stupid fucking
yes,
name.
Really
parody.
Awful. Really awful. I'm pretty sure Michael Corleone's kid, as soon as the credits rolled on Godfather 1, that kid probably murdered somebody on a playground. in their blood.
It's funny that you mentioned the parody aspect of it, because I hadn't seen this movie until 2010, four years ago, my last year of college, and I was a film minor, too. But I'd seen things like that piece of shit Jane Austen's Mafia.
Yeah, yeah.
Jane Austen's Mafia. I've never even heard of it.
It's so bad.
I think it was one of those things that played on the campus movie channel when I was in college.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just end up by default being that's one of the most watched movies I've ever watched. Because it was
it's just on all
the time. It was oh, Lloyd Bridges and Leslie Nielsen are in this, and they're always in really funny stuff. Right. No.
What year did that movie come out?
98, I think, was the year. It was definitely in the back half of the 90s. And, Leslie Nielsen was kind of on the decline at that point anyway, because, that was right around the time, Dracula Dead and Loving It came out.
Yeah.
Which is, just bad.
I saw the movie in the movie theater.
Jay Moore played the Michael character.
Yep.
And some no-name dude played the Sonny. They kind of, smashed Sonny and Fredo together.
Yeah. It was just a mashup. And part of me almost, the sadistic part of me almost wants to go back and watch that now that I've seen the first two. I still haven't watched Godfather Part 3, which is, just universally, reviled as one of the worst things ever made. I was actually having a talk with Danny Stratton, who's been on the podcast a couple times now, and apparently when they were doing the movie, before all the pre-production stuff, Robert Duvall read the script and intentionally priced himself out. That was how bad he didn't want to be associated with it.
Wow.
So the Tom Hagen character does not return for the third Godfather.
Oh. Well, this is something that we discussed too. Part of the reason why, obviously I've never seen any of them because I have other things going on and I can't give up whole weeks to a movie trilogy.
Yeah.
But part of the reason why 3 had to have not worked is that Pacino doesn't fucking look like Pacino.
No.
Michael Corleone does not look like Al Pacino. There's no other way to say it than that. Al Pacino in Godfather 3 looks like Al Pacino.
Yeah.
But Michael, I don't know what happened to his face.
Know.
It is it is it'd be one of the strangest Hollywood mysteries. He doesn't just look a younger version of himself. He looks a different actor.
Right.
Maybe he
completely
didn't go
different.
Hard on drugs and alcohol.
Right. It's so weird.
Or something
He looks like a long lost relative of himself.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
He there was some sort of switcheroo done. Like an Ultimate Warrior type situation. Real Al Pacino died in the middle of Godfather 2.
Gallagher, it's Al Pacino that we know today. It's just fucking, Al Pacino 2.
Right. It's Robert Evans. I think it's Robert Evans. He was look, this Godfather 2 is going to make so much money. We can't, have anything fall apart on us.
Yeah.
Al Pacino died, slipped in the Ultimate Warrior Al Pacino. And he's just been yelling and crazy ever since.
That's insane. Something I want to go back to. We talked about the scene where Sonny is killed. When Justin Golak was on, we did Aliens, and we were talking about how good the effects look in it. And even in modern movies, Scorsese movies, even something The Departed today, blood effects look like shit, but how fucking good did that scene at the toll booth look?
Yeah,
it was pretty well done.
To be honest, too, I thought that was one thing that was very well done. The deaths were mostly not gratuitous and realistic.
Yeah,
Luca Brasi getting strangled in the beginning.
Yeah.
It was just very visceral and awkward, but it felt like you usually probably don't see movies made 40 years ago, and there's probably usually so much to laugh at. There wasn't a whole lot of that. There really wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some, but there wasn't a whole lot of things that you were just oh, yeah, that's not their fault. It just, the technology wasn't there. It was all pretty well done.
Yeah,
as another one that we did on a previous episode, too, was Jaws. And the same thing, like, the deaths in that look fucking good.
Yeah.
And now, like, everything, so many movies are just CG, and it looks bad.
Yeah, I know,
man. And, like, that's really sad that, like, 40 years later, when the technology should clearly have been leaps and bounds over there, like, we've regressed.
Right.
And that really sucks.
Get lazy.
Yeah, CGI is garbage.
Yeah.
What's your favorite performance? I think that's the interesting thing, because as a film nerd who hasn't seen all the film nerd films,
yeah,
I know so much more about the film. Like, I know, like, weird shit about this. Like, Burt Reynolds, like, wanted to be cast, and they were like...
Burt Reynolds would be a weird choice Pacino, in that movie.
Exactly. Like, Pacino was actually, like... They had to get Pacino out of another movie that he was signed on for.
Oh, yeah.
And there were three actors that, like, turned down the part. Like, actually, like, they were on board with. And it was, like, Jack Nicholson.
Oh, man. Wow.
And I can't remember the rest of them. There's a bunch of weird stories about, like, that. Like, Robert Evans wanted, like, Robert Redford. And Coppola was like, no, he doesn't look Italian enough.
Were you going for the Michael role?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And, in fact, for a while, Khan was in the Michael role, and then when they cast Pacino,
they switched him around.
They switched him over. Oh, and De Niro, like, weird trivia, like, De Niro screened for the Michael character, didn't get it, then took Pacino's role from the movie that they got him released from.
Oh, nice.
Which enabled, like, De Niro, because, like, De Niro was going to be, like, some other character in the original Godfather.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So not taking that and taking the role that Pacino left open enabled him to play Vito in the second one.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Do you know what movie he took?
Oh, I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, that's
What was your favorite performance? Because there were so many. I mean, because, like, everybody got nominated for an Oscar.
Everyone,
like, everyone
across the board was really good. I still, I said this while we were watching it. I really like James Caan and Robert Duvall in this movie.
Yeah,
like it honestly. Yeah. Maybe my favorite performances from them, like, the only close second with Robert Duvall would, of course, be his character in Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, which
also a phenomenal character, but he's got, like, 3 minutes of screen time.
And it's, and Khan's performance is second only to the dad in Elf. the depth that he showed as a confused, ruthless book publisher and his, you know, long-lost son being an elf gets me every time.
What about you guys?
I would say those two. I mean,
yeah, me too.
The very strange thing is that you're watching a movie that is, again, like, all the performances are, like, universally respected and loved.
Right. Yeah.
But it's, the movie is better than the performances in some way. I don't know. It's really weird. Like, there's just not a, I didn't have any emotional feeling about the characters, to be totally honest.
No,
like, they're not real deep.
Yeah, it doesn't get its hooks into you. Like, you don't have that character investment. Like, you're definitely invested, like you said, like, in the bigger picture. Like, you're invested in the story, but, like, Sonny dies. Like, it's not really sad so much. You're just like, all right, well, who's going to get killed now for this?
Right, yeah.
It's like, it definitely becomes more about just kind of, I guess, like, the mythos around, the, like, that life of organized crime and, like, a crime family.
Right.
Which is really weird. And I feel like it's that way with Godfather too. Like, whenever characters die in that, it's like, I'm not really...
Yeah.
I want to see where that goes.
I was more emotionally involved, like, the characters in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Seriously, like, it's kind of an interesting comparison. You have this, like, you know, almost 3-hour movie, and there's these huge metaphorical implications and, like, justice and innocence. And, like, I'll take Heath Ledger over any of those performances. Dead serious.
He's a phenomenal performance, but this movie is about themes and ideas rather than people. Right.
Yes.
It's about family.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, a lot of
good family. I mean, good screenplay, good script. I mean, it's definitely, like, well written.
Oh, yeah, very well written. I blanked on what I was going to say. Oh, let's talk about some of the favorite stuff. I know for me, I love the character of Luca Brasi, and I hate...
You love the sad one. Of course he loves the sad... He loves the sad foot-upon guy.
It really... And for me, it comes down to that very first scene when he's talking to himself. And because I use this line all the time, when he's sitting there, like, when he's going to ask the Don, not even ask the Don for a favor, when he just wants to thank him.
Congratulate him.
Like, he's this fucking outsider, but he got invited to the wedding.
Right.
Which he's like, wow, that's probably the nicest thing anyone's ever done for him.
Rehearsing his speech.
But, like, yeah, he has that great line, may their first child be a masculine child. which is such a weird fucking thing to say, but in his, like, caveman brain, like, that's a really sweet thing to say.
Yeah. Right. I liked it. And also, I liked the sort of Austin Powers thing that he pulled, where he's like, Don Corleone, on the day of your daughter's wedding, thank you for inviting me to your daughter's wedding.
Just repeats himself. Yeah, that's a fucking great moment. And like you said, the scene where he gets killed, like, all those scenes are so fucking, like, visceral. Yeah.
Right.
Really good. Let's talk about the fact that Michael fucking just marries another woman, goes overseas.
And poor Apollonia.
Yeah.
She had no idea what was coming.
Like, she just wanted to learn to drive.
Right?
Which would be, like, I guess,
so
it
sad.
Be,
she doesn't even know. She doesn't even know what cars are, let alone that in America, some people use them as
explosive devices,
giant bomb traps.
It's like, I guess. Like, it shouldn't be that surprising, because, I mean, how many fucking different people do we see James Caan having sex with that aren't his wife?
Which, like, James Caan, that's one of my favorite parts. Like, the families are at war. Like, it's pretty much all hands on deck, but he's still got to get his dick wet. he's like, maybe, you know, maybe skip, like, you know, your Wednesday afternoon bang with your mistresses.
Yeah, yeah.
He brings four or five bodyguards with him. Like, not very he wasn't very efficient. That's why Michael should have been in charge. Like,
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Michael would have skipped the lunchtime bang.
Like,
you know, he's like, no, we got business.
Right, yeah, he did. He even kicked all those hookers out of his room.
He did. He was like,
we're here for business.
He's like, beat it, hookers. You're trying to be all Las Vegas-y.
Get this band and these good times out of my room.
Right. All business. Yeah. It's the Tom Flute approach.
He's like, what do you, he's like, I haven't made scent of a woman yet. Like, I'm a whole different Pacino. I don't like fun.
And actually, now that I think about it, something's kind of funny. Of course, he doesn't, like, go overseas. He doesn't marry someone else and forget the girl until after he's killed those two guys in the restaurant.
He's kind of a needy bastard. He's just like, well, I'm out here in Italy. He's like, well, I can't just not have a lady on my arm.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, he started
before his
off,
face even stopped healing, like, like, finished healing, he's already getting married.
Another amazing part that Tom pointed out, like, his black eye that lasted for, like,
good part of a year.
For what I can gather, how long the movie, like, lasted time wise? I think he had a 2 year shiner.
He should have really got that checked out.
And it went through like, really bizarre phases of healing. Like, there were points later where it actually looked worse than it did earlier. Yeah. After.
And then, like, towards the end, it looked like someone just kicked a bunch of dust in his face.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It looked like the makeup from a Lifetime movie.
Yeah. It's
like, where a woman gets, like, slapped by a guy. But it looks like she got, like, you know, fell in a trash compactor or something. Yeah. It's, like, way overdone.
Like, I've never been punched by a cop, but I cannot imagine the damage would persist that long. Like, that's weird. Another thing that, like, I caught watching this, it confused the shit out of me.
How many of those sheep he murdered? Presumably.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was 100%.
When they go to the hillside, I'm like, oh, man, he's turned. He's not an Ivy League boy anymore. He's straight up murdering a lot of those sheep in cold blood.
Well, I got a taste for blood. Pop likes it. Talia Shire's character, Connie, the sister of the Corleone family, for whatever reason, is angry that Michael kills her husband, her shitty, abusive husband.
After she tried to stab him.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go on record here as saying that, like, I've actually only seen her in three things. Rocky, Godfather, and I Heart Huckabees.
That's one more than I've seen her. So.
She is such an insufferable bitch of an actress. She is awful. It's like, and her brother put her in the movie. I mean, her brother is Francis Ford Coppola. It's like he just said, was like, hey, some of my boys are going to come down here and beat on you, and I just want you to shriek on camera for like a whole day. We'll chop it up together. You'll be in an Oscar-winning movie. It's awesome. She's like fucking Kubrick annoying as hell. Exactly.
Who do I know that's over the top emotionally? Like,
yeah, he's like,
why don't I get my sister in here? She's a crazy
bitch. Yeah, he's like, I cut off her Barbie's hair and she cried for like 4 days. Imagine if we rough her up a little bit on camera.
There's a nepotism all over the place. The baby during the christening scene is Sofia Ford Coppola.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Which
I think Roman's in there somewhere too.
That would not.
Roman plays the cannoli.
Yeah.
It's actually a real life human baby.
How great is it? That's like another great brief moment. The leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Yeah.
And I was reading completely improvised, like that one line.
Yeah.
And like I always forget when that moment happens, but then watching it this time, like his wife says right before he leaves, like, "Oh, don't forget the cannoli."
Yeah.
And then I was like, "Oh, so they get it when they kill this dude out in the middle."
Right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. They're gonna kill him. Stop. Pick up some cannoli.
Yeah.
Talia Shire is, like, I was just like, holy shit, like, because, I mean, if you watch the Rocky movies, like, Adrian's purpose in the movie is to just shriek uncontrollably whenever Rocky is in trouble.
She does that in every movie.
Constantly. It's just like, he forgets his gloves to go out and jog up the steps, and she's just like, Rocky, no! It's
just, what if she's just, like, the worst actress, and she's just that all the time in real life? Just
completely. I would make the assumption that
emotional wreck.
I would make the assumption that she is. Like, I'd say right now, Talia Shire is at a giant eagle, and
she just realized
that she forgot her giant eagle advantage card. They won't let her check out any of her groceries, and she's just like, no.
Like, what she does, like, do you think she does that when she's happy too?
Probably. Like, it's her only emotion.
Let's talk about over the top. The scene where she just starts smashing everything.
Wait,
like, that is so much more ridiculous than I remembered it being.
Well, we already have our theory on that. Obviously,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
Like,
the
well endowed and efficient Foley artist for The Godfather, starting with when the plane lands. Like, we had to hear the screech of the tires.
It's so loud too, just like the loud screech of tires.
That's how.
Like,
that's how.
Why
you
is that necessary?
If you didn't hear that, you would assume that plane just sort of made like a pillowy, you know, touchdown briefly, and then went back up in the air. You have no idea.
You hear the whine of the engine. We're good. You hear the Las Vegas music. We know we're at. We know that the Tom Hagen landed in the plane. We're all right.
So I think that's the theory. I think the Foley artist was so good. They were so pleased with the tire screech work. And he was just like, he nailed it. He knocked out all of his Foley stuff in like an hour. And he's like, oh, the unions got me here for the whole day. So they I think they just wrote in that scene. And Talia Shire was like, okay, Talia.
Oh, I can throw some
He's like, okay, are you ready to be a crazy bitch? She's like, absolutely.
You don't have to ask me twice.
I had tons of coffee. I cut myself a little bit. We're ready to go. Okay, now I want you to go in that kitchen, pick up a knife, scream at your stupid husband, and then knock over the 85 vases that we've set up in this fake apartment.
And then
Jim the Foley guy. Yeah, the eggs.
Oh, yeah. That was impressive. It was like a splat sound. Mm-hmm. And then when she throws the pitcher later, like just those off sounds thrown in the mix of like glass shattering. Like, it sounds like the beginning of Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme music. Like just that first half second, like on a loop, just... Before it gets over and over.
I see a future Monday Night Live sketch of the of Gary the Godfather Foley artist.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Behind the tire screech.
Oh, man, I cannot promise that that
Mario Puzo's The Sounds of the Godfather. He even wrote that.
Some more great Foley work. The scene where Sonny beats the shit out of Carlo.
Oh, with a trash can.
Yeah, where he just, I forgot how brutal that was. Like, I remember definitely, like, Sonny beats the shit out of him, but then it turns into essentially a WWE hardcore match.
Right.
Well, apparently him and the guy that played Carlo actually hated each other, and he kind of really did beat the shit out of him. Like, he ad-libbed the trash can thing.
Oh, really?
And, like they said, like, chipped his knee and broke two of his ribs.
Wow. Hey.
Also, it took 4 days to shoot, which is...
Oh,
that's
man.
Insane.
Yeah.
That entire sequence is almost one take.
It's one shot.
Like, one take, and it's also like shot. 16 seconds.
Yeah. Like, I think there's maybe, like, once, like, the fight actually starts, there's not a whole lot of cutaways.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
He might Piazza that bat at him, and then he came out in the middle of the street. That was, like, the start of it.
And then, like, right back to 10 seconds of trash can lid.
And such a nice suit. Such a nice, bright orange leisure suit. Why do you have to ruin it?
Speaking of suits, like, everybody looked so awesome. And it was kind of jarring. Or, like, and I think this was actually sort of clever. Like, they never really, right at the beginning, kind of even mention anything specific. Like, everything else is so deliberate. Uh-huh. But then, like, when Don Corleone kind of steps aside, it's never really mentioned until, like, much later. It was kind of jarring to go from, like, the Godfather with the fucking three-piece suit and the cat on his lap. And then all of a sudden, he's just kind of, like, dressed like fucking Henry Fonda on Golden Frog. Right, yeah, like, all of a sudden, he's just like in his comfy flannel shirt, right, like a cardigan. Yeah, I'm just like, God damn it, man. Like, that went real quick. He's like, he survived, nine bullets. And then he's just like, all right, cool. I'm just going to dress like everybody's grandpa. Right, yeah. That was a little too much for me.
Let's talk about Marlon Brando. We haven't even touched on his performance in this movie.
He's such a fucking insane weirdo. He's so strange.
Like, and that was at the point of the career where he was starting to get very bizarre, like, and definitely phoning it in, because also the same decade that saw him just not even give a shit about Apocalypse Now.
Yeah,
right.
When he did that.
They said to just, like, film him from, like, the tits up, because he was just, like, fat and weird. Didn't know his lines.
The thing about knowing his lines, I was reading something where Robert Duvall, like, had to have pages, like, that were essentially, like, taped to his body, like, during some of their scenes, because Brando just didn't fucking learn his lines.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is insane, because, like, despite reading his fucking lines, he's still, like, it's an amazing performance. Like, he's really fucking good. He's just, at that point in his career, was just kind of a piece of shit to work with.
It's one of those weird things, though, too, because, like, oh, by the way, also, Orson Welles really, really wanted the part, and they were just like, we've already got Brando in mind for it.
Oh, man, Orson Welles would have been so great. Oh, my God.
He would have drank a lot more wine than Don Corleone. He would just be like, he'd have been like fucking drinking wine while he's got like a bandage on his neck and like bullets in him.
It
would have been hard to write that character around probably how irresponsible and drunk Orson Welles was. Yeah.
Man, does he fucking Orson Welles like, and like he gets Citizen Kane, like, whereas Brando has so many iconic roles.
Right.
Like, Orson Welles really only has the one.
Right. That probably would have been a little bit overwrought. I'm assuming that Orson Welles probably wouldn't have brought as much like subtlety to the role. He'd be like,
oh, definitely not.
I've made him an offer that he can't refuse. Like, it would just be all that old tiny, like, leave the gun, take the cannoli.
I want to see, like, an audition tape or something. Like, even if it's not the movie, like, because that's so fucking bizarre.
I know.
Like, just the idea of Orson Welles being in a role like that.
I thought Brando was really good, but it's one of those things where you're like, is it a great performance, or is it just, like, kind of hard to, like, take your eyes off of it? No, I mean, like, he's just a strange fucker.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't even know if he was really, like, just chewing that role up, but he's also just, like, the cotton ball mouth.
Yeah,
it's kind of. I bet you when you first saw it, again, it's the same thing. Back to what we were talking about before. I bet you in context when you first saw it, for a lot of people, it was just like, "Oh wow, this is so interesting." And there's like pathos, but once you've seen like Belushi and a million other fucking hacks doing that, like kind of like mothball mouth
like
thing,
the almost gently like raising his cheek with his fingertips.
Yeah, it's almost like almost like a parody of itself.
And
now,
even Al Pacino like started to talk like after he gets punched in the face, he starts doing that like cotton mouth like underbite. Talk.
Well, they said it was because he got his jaw got broken. That's what I was reading, but they never again they never address that in the movie. They don't say like, oh, you got your jaw broken, which would be weird.
Yeah,
that's so fucking bizarre. We got a couple minutes left. Is there anything else you guys would like to hit before we start to wrap this guy up?
Yeah, it should have been called Four Weddings and a Funeral. Oh, shit!
We haven't talked about that.
Bruce Willis joke.
So many weddings in this goddamn movie.
So many weddings.
They even had to cut a wedding out. Like, it's just like, all right, they're married now. We get it.
Right.
No more weddings.
I assume that the original cut that Coppola turned in was like 5.5 hours long. Like 3 hours and 50 minutes of
just
wedding.
A bunch of weddings.
Yeah, they were like, it was a real easy cut. Like, they just walked in and the executives were just like, you could probably lose those last three weddings. You're like, all right, cool, it's down to 3 hours.
Like,
we'll win Oscars.
It's still so long and there's still so much to do. They mention Fredo, John Cazale's character, going to Vegas like in passing. But like, we get all that time with Pacino while he's in Italy.
Right. And we didn't get to see Fredo get married.
Yeah.
What about his wedding? Right? I want to see all the characters. I want to see all the characters wedding. Get married.
Every single one. I want to see little Anthony Corleone.
Yeah,
the little
yeah it's like knowing the backstory.
I assume that's Godfather too. Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Look, let's just assume this. Me and Tom Plute, we haven't seen Godfather 2 or 3. The reason why everybody hates 3 is it's just a wrap-up of all the weddings. They do the receptions. They do the weddings. They do like a little confession. It's like knowing all the backstory for all the Star Wars characters. It's like we do like a special TV special of just all the Godfather weddings.
I want to propose this right now if you guys are up for it.
Okay.
Come back next week and watch part two.
Just work through the entire trilogy. Yeah. Not all at once. We got
to
pace ourselves.
Okay.
All
right. I'm willing to do
it. I would even be willing to take a couple weeks between each
one. Sure.
But we just did the Cornetto trilogy, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and World's End with Tim Myers and Danny Stratton.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
And that was really fun. So yeah, like it's weird to
how many find. Weddings was in that trilogy? I recall almost none.
Yeah, I don't think
none in Shaun of the Dead.
No, there isn't. Nope.
Yeah, zero weddings. But yeah, cool. So we'll tackle Godfather 2 and Godfather 3 sometime in the future with you guys.
Cool.
Is Godfather 3 3 hours long as well?
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's crappy.
You know,
at least this was good to sit through because it was good.
Yeah, we got to pace ourselves. Godfather 2
a crappy
really
3 hour movie.
Godfather 2 is really good. There's a lot of people that argue that it's better than the original. I disagree. The first time I watched both of them, but that was also 4 years ago. So especially now after talking about this one, I'm rewatching Godfather 2. I might have a different opinion.
See, 2 will be fun because I feel like if you said like Godfather 1 and 2 is the greatest story ever told, that I could almost understand more than like the first one being hailed as like a singular great film.
Yeah.
It's good, but I mean like. Like it looks like something that was made purposely to have a sequel, but I know it kind of was. I don't know. It was weird.
With the books and everything. But yeah, cool. I'm excited to fucking tackle
cool. Yeah. We'll see you guys in 2019.
Right. Godfather 2.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's going to do it for us on The Godfather. Thanks again to Tom Plute and Travis Awisher for popping by and doing this.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you all next time.
Join me and co-host Justin Golak next week as we take Dan King through the action film Predator, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers, Jesse Ventura, and a whole lot of biceps. If you like us, check out the page on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave a review. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions for the show, send them to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com, and we'll catch you the next time.